Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
A big thanks to Joe Ostrowski and JJ Stankovic. They're both going to be joining me on Fridays before Bears games. I'm really excited to have both of those guys as part of the show. Monday, Anthony Heron's going to be with me, and we're going to break the game down. Don't worry, though. We're still going to have baseball talk in our show throughout the week. But you know how it is on a Bears Monday, and apparently the people are already primed and ready to yell at Mitchell Trubisky. With that, I bring in the afternoon show of Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins. Hello, men.
Hello, Lawrence, and hello, Danny. Do you know who gets the real break in baseball uniform this weekend based on we're going to be all doing Bears Monday in a few days? That's John Lester, who pitches tonight for the Cubs. By the time we all get back to work on Monday, all will be forgotten, and my expectations get lower by the appearance from the big left-hander. Parkins has been riding his ass since his fourth start of the year, and I
can't
defend
him. Went downhill.
Yeah,
there's no way to defend him. If he gets the ball up, he just doesn't have the velo at this point in his career to get away with it. And when you're throwing 90 and you get it up, that's tantalizing. That's a meatball for a major league hitter.
Sure is.
Yeah,
sure
and is. It's not just this year, and it sometimes gets conflated like, oh, Parkins hates John Lester. I mean, John Lester.
Do you?
No. I mean, he's one of the most important Cubs of my lifetime. Like, how could anyone possibly hate John Lester? This is what happens. Like, when you sign a veteran pitcher to a six-year, $155 million contract, this is honestly the best-case scenario when you sign a veteran. You know, that he pitches, that he wins a ring, that he's great for multiple years early, that he shows up in big postseason games, which he's done even outside of 2016. And you know when you sign it, you're paying for it on the back end. This is the back end.
Like this is the back end. And then the question becomes, what do you do with him? And there's hockey players in town at the back end as well. And you wonder, At what point are you just killing your team by continuing to throw a guy out there predicated primarily on his huge paycheck? The Cubs have survived him this year. That's the best way to say it. They still have a three-game lead in the division, but you seriously can't consider him if it continues to trend this way. You can't give him the ball in a playoff series. I don't know how you would trust that. I don't care what he's done in his past life, and I have a ton of regard for him, too. I think he's probably going to the Hall of Fame, and he's been one of the best Cubs pitchers in team history. But this just isn't getting it done, as we've seen.
I think what Len said on our show yesterday is what'll happen, because what other option do you have given that the divisional series, the first round series, is a best of three, assuming you get there, right? Assuming you split Darvish Hendricks, and that's a deciding game, a game seven equivalent. Chatwood doesn't have enough time to regain your trust. Quintana doesn't have enough time to regain your trust. You could start Alec Mills if you wanted to, but my guess is they'll start Lester, and the hook will be Lester, Alec Mills, bullpen game. Like
that, I think that it's a combination of the two guys that you mentioned. I think that they would love for it to be Quintana, for Quintana to start and then Chatwood to.
Is there
to
enough
piggyback.
Time though, man? I mean, the playoffs start in what, less than 3 weeks? Like they're so close. When does the first round of the playoffs start? I could be off by a week.
28th, right?
They've only got 15 games to go. They've played 45 heading into tonight's game against the Brewers. So only 15 games left.
Yeah, and
I think the Sox have
17 games in 17 days. So I mean,
yeah,
we're less than three weeks away from the playoffs.
Yep. I think that it's the equivalent of a bullpen start, Danny, with those two guys. I think you're like, hey, can you give me 50 pitches? Cool.
Being Quintana and Lester or Quintana and Mills?
Quintana and Chatwood.
Yeah, oh. I'd go that route, or I'd trust Alec Mills. He's earned it. He's been everything you can ask of a guy at the back end of a rotation. I just don't think you can afford, especially if you're in a, you know, if it's a rubber game of a series and winner moves on, loser goes home, you can't afford to be spotting somebody runs because you're loyal to John Lester for past performance. You got to make a tough business decision and let him spectate.
Four of his last five outings have been awful, but one wasn't. And so my guess, I'm not saying it's what I would do, like there is still time between now and then, but my guess is that as long as each of the next starts aren't awful and they can cherry pick and say, see, occasionally, they'll say he's different in the postseason. He's got a career 2.55 postseason ERA. He gets the ball first because if playoff magic John Lester shows up, he could give you five scoreless, and none of the other guys can.
Gentlemen, I just got the Bears injury report, the final one.
Yeah, it's not
this
great.
That's not good. Robert Quinn did not practice. He is doubtful for Sunday against the Lions with an ankle.
That's just a little country humor.
Yeah.
Country humor, nothing funny about him missing.
The only saving grace is that it might be the same thing for Kenny Golladay. For the Lions, he's been, they've said, extremely limited in practice with his hamstring, and he's, I would say, one of the 10 best receivers in the NFL. So maybe those things cancel each other out in some way, but I was very much looking forward to seeing Robert Quinn, Akeem Hicks, and Khalil Mack on the field at the same time.
The good news, David Montgomery practiced in full. He is listed as questionable, but 2 days of full practice, that says to me the kid's going to play.
He's going to play, and we'll see if Matt Nagy follows the lead of his mentor in Kansas City, who called 34 runs last night for the Chiefs. You know what struck me about last night's game that I think is a tremendous tribute to both teams who played, and Kansas City clearly was the better team on both sides of the ball. I don't think the score indicated how much they dominated. Six penalties collectively on the night. The Chiefs were called for one penalty without the benefit of a ton of typical work in the offseason. Opening night, I was expecting Cleet Blakeman's crew to be very, very busy last night in pre-snap infractions, and both squads played it pretty damn clean, man.
Appreciated that. It was fun to watch, and it made it easier to watch that – it was very clean, and I was shocked to see that was the case.
I think it's a product of a few things, right? These are two of the top six quarterbacks in the NFL, so they know how to get their guys in line, and you're not going to have them making mistakes. Like my guess is it'll be different when, you know, Carolina, first-time head coach, even though Teddy Bridgewater's a veteran. I think some places it'll be tougher than others. And then I kept thinking about, do we need preseason football? They do it in college, and we got that high quality of a football game right out of the chute with zero preseason games. I feel like the only argument left for preseason existing is that it makes money for the owners. And that might be the only argument that's needed, follow the money.
Sure.
But it's really hard to make the argument that quality of play that we got last night would have been greatly enhanced by 2 to 4 preseason games for those teams. I would argue that it might have been worse because you would have had fewer healthy guys out there.
We'll see if you feel similarly Monday. I hear what you're saying. Veteran teams, playoff teams a year ago, remind you of how bad both the Bears and Packers looked when they opened last season Thursday night on a Thursday night at Soldier Field. That was dreadful from both squads without preseason games. But I get it, and I think you hit it on the head. The owners aren't going to give up preseason games. You might get them to knock it down to a couple, but they still at least are going to want that one date.
I mean, you have George McCaskey, I'm sure, was looking at the game last night going, damn, I want to get some of my fans into the stadium. So, yeah, I think you're right, Mac. I think it ends up the compromise ends up being, oh, we'll play two games. We'll play two preseason games, and we'll make our money for the owners off of the preseason games a 1-1.
1-1 in the preseason, an expanded postseason, right, which we're getting this year. That'll help make up the revenue, and then
the owner's
true goal of at least a 17-game schedule. So that would they would give up two preseason games for one extra regular season game.
I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to me. That's no one likes doing these. I think there is some value in it, but if we see clean games throughout the first couple weeks of the season in this environment, I think there's a good argument to not do as much of it. What are you guys doing on the show?
We're very busy today, Lawrence, with football coming back. We have an NFC North preview at the end of this hour where we will have a guest from each of Detroit, Minneapolis, and Green Bay. Olin Krutz at 3 o'clock. Who do you love at 4 o'clock? John Clayton, the professor, at 4:20 today. So we're very football-y.
That sounds awesome. Olin, part of our pregame and postgame crew.
That's BetRivers.com.
Let's get that in there. They're sponsoring that. It's all that good stuff. Well, sounds like a football Friday on the McNeil and Parkin show. Boys, have a wonderful football weekend. I will talk to you Monday.
You too, Lawrence. Enjoy a chocolate cake donut over the weekend. You've earned it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You bet.
That sounds delicious.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.